Janet's just going to come and read the scripture for us. So if you can pull up the scripture from Ephesians chapter 6. Here, I'll move my stuff and you can have some space.
Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. Pardon. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt round your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, and stay alert in this, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough in him to speak as I should.
And then just before we get into the scriptures for my sermon, Stan has a few words.
I think you all know that when we hired Matt and his family as our pastor, that we would have a review at the end of 1 year. Well, that year has come, and we, meaning Charlie and myself, felt inadequate to come up with an evaluation of our pastor, and so we got a hold of Terry Fossen, and he kindly presented us with a form. We then asked the board, the church board, to review that with the pastor. The pastor gave all the answers to the form, and from that, he is to come up with a personal plan of action consisting of three things. He is presently working on that, and I can honestly say that the board was such a blessing to Charlie and myself, and I believe to our pastor. We just want to thank you again, Matt and Rachel and your dear family, for being with us, and we trust that as you grow in the Lord, and as you help us to grow in the Lord, that he will be glorified and magnified. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan. And everyone else, could you turn on the lights for right here? I'm in the dark. Ooh. There's all new light bulbs in there from Brandon, so they are very bright. I'm in the light. The light has come. So again, we're going to go through Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. Not to 20, though. We're not going to go all the way through. I'm not going to dig through each verse point by point. But I am wanting to highlight something I believe is very important for us within this text. But I do find it amazing that I didn't plan this out, that we would end up in Ephesians chapter 6. verses 10 when it's talking about battlements and putting on your battlements and being ready for battle. And I think it's pretty amazing how the Lord works and how it was Remembrance Day yesterday. So I think it's an amazing blessing and how the Lord knows even these, what we might think as little things, He thinks of them and He knows them. And as well, too, the Lord knows the battles that we strain through. I know this morning a few things were brought up with physical ailments that are going on, and we can go through dark valleys and they can feel really heavy and like we're not with God. But we need to remember that God is always there. I know I say this often, I've said it often to different people, but in chapter 6 of Mark, or 7, chapter 6 or 7, when the disciples were out on the water, pushing against the waves and striving against the waves, trying to get to the place that Jesus was wanting them to get to. But just before that, they had the bread and the blessing of the bread and the 5,000 fed. And then they got into the boat and Jesus sent them off and He gave them, and they took up the baskets and they put them in the hull of the boat. And when they went out, the waves started and they're battling against the waves and battling against the elements. But Jesus went up on the mount. He went up to pray. But He saw them because He's God, and He saw them battling. And He went down to walk upon the water, and He meant to pass them by, which the scriptures say specifically, is that He meant to pass them by, but they saw Him. And one of the things and the reasons of why He meant to pass them by is because they already had Him. They had the bread of life with them in the hull of the boat. We have our Savior, and we have reassurance when we've been saved by Him, when we believed in Him, and by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, which is our seal. So when we battle against those many battles that we come into and those valleys that come before us, we can have hope knowing that God knows and sees us, and our faith can grow. So don't forget that. God always sees you. He has not forgotten you, no matter what you're going through. So now as we get into the scriptures, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You that You are so gracious to us and that we do have peace and that our soul can have reassurance and that we can look to You for strength and help and to not forget that we can slip, that we can fall. We are not without sin, but we have hope that we can come to You. And You're there with open arms because You have forgiven us in past, our past sins, our future sins that are to come. You have forgiven us. And You have covered us by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have hope and reassurance. And I thank You for that, Father. And I thank You for this time that we have now together. And I just ask that You would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds and soften our hearts so that we can grasp and take hold of what You have for us. And that we can battle through these scriptures, but not hopeless. But we can battle through with hope, putting on the armor. In Jesus' name. Amen. At some point, there is a video I'm going to do, but just let Trevor know, not just yet. There is a little video that I want to show you later on. But if you have your Bibles, verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally. This kind of made me giggle because I thought of it's kind of like when a pastor is about to end a sermon and he says in closing, and then it goes on for another lengthy portion. I know Phineas brought this up to me one day, and he said, you said you were done, and Rachel actually said it to me too. He said you were done, and you went on for like 5 more minutes. So I got excited after. So Paul is coming to us finally. And you guys, all of you can be happy to know that I started off with finally. So it's all good now. You'll have about 10 or 15 minutes with me speaking to you. So finally, I looked up the Greek to find out a little bit more about finally, which is loapos in the Greek wording, which is an adverb meaning to rest or remaining. Or the other thing is, which I have in your bulletin, from now on, which I'm just going to read the verse to you again, actually in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord. First, starting off with strong in the Lord. Finally, from now on, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So it is an adverb from now on. Loopos. And the ESV and the King James, they do state finally at the beginning. Maybe you've forgotten what an adverb means. And it is after a long time or some difficulty, or a word is used at the beginning of a sentence to illustrate the last point or the last points, or maybe even the entire context of what we have come through. And then some of you may not have been here for all of the different all the sermons that I've gone through with Ephesians, but we've come through a lot of scripture. We've battled through a lot of grounds. We've gone through a lot of wording. We've gone through a lot of thoughts, maybe even. And now we come to Paul's finally, or from now on. So from now on, what is a question maybe you might have? What is finally happening? And that's why I said we need to remember to look back. We need to think, what has Paul been saying this entire time? What has he been talking about? I know the last few times we've really been digging into wives and husbands, children, fathers raising their children, mothers raising their children, leading the home. But I want you to remember again that as we go to this, and I'm going to bring this up later at some point, but just this is for a Christian. Paul is again speaking to a Christian, and he's saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might as a Christian, as a faithful Christian of the Lord. So when we think back to the importance of what Paul has for us and had for us when we've gone through Ephesians. We've studied through 5 to 6 chapters, almost 6 chapters now, of the gospel truths in Ephesians. And as any soldier knows, they have commands to follow. From now on, we have a commanding verb. First is be strong, which is from verse 10, which we've said. Second, commanding verb, put on, which is from verse 11. The third one is a commanding verb, take up, verse 13. And then fourth, a commanding verb, to stand. That's from verse 14. So we have some commanding verbs that have been laid out here by Paul for us. First for the Ephesian church, and now for us today, thousands of years later. And it's still just as good as it was then. So Paul is bringing everything together. From now on, we can stand strong in the strength of the Lord to withstand this evil day. Do not become prideful, thinking you will not become tempted by the tempter, or that the tempter will not come to tempt you. Satan tried his temptations with Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus used the word to fight off the schemes of Satan. And we know Christ won. He won the battle. He was not defeated. And now we have hope. We have a new hope. We have victory so that we can battle against the schemes of Satan. Because he's still out there. He's still prowling. Scripture states that for us. And if I could now get Trevor to play the video. This is from the show Chosen.
It's not you. There's quite a lot going on right now. So it's good to have you back.
I don't know what to say.
I don't require much.
I'm so ashamed. You redeemed me and I just threw it all away.
Well, that's not much of a redemption if it can be lost in a day, is it?
I owe you everything. But I just don't think I can do it.
Do what?
Live up to it. Repay you? How could I leave? How could I go back to the place I was? And I didn't even come back on my own. They had to come get me. I just can't live up to it.
Well, that's true. But you don't have to. I just want your heart. The Father just wants your heart. Give us that, which you already have. And the rest will come in time. Did you really think that you'd never struggle or sin again? I know how painful that moment was for you.
I shouldn't.
Someday. But not here.
I'm just so sorry.
Look up.
I can't.
You can. Look at me. I forgive you. It's over.
Just before we played that, I said we need to be careful that we don't become prideful, thinking that we won't stumble. But he has forgiven us. We come to him and he forgives us. He knows our battles. We can slip. So as we go through this, or first just take a little bit of a glimpse with it, because I'm not going to get into all the different armaments, and at, well, Lord willing, next Sunday, I'm going to get into that more and to dig into that. But at first, I just want to look a little from before, but at the same time, a little into here. And I want us to know that we are children of God when we have believed in him. And when we've put our hope in him. I had a pretty good battle going through these scriptures myself. I kept thinking, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say this. No, I want to say this. Lord, do you want me to say this? And I kept saying, Lord, do you want this? What do you want? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Do I present this? So I had a few battles throughout this. I was up quite late last night. This morning again, I was working on it again. And the Lord is good. All the time. So, I want to remind you of 1 Peter 5:8-9. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith. Firm in your faith. Then at the end it says, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers throughout the world. Being firm in your faith is very important in that scripture. And it says in 6:10, standing of Ephesians, standing strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, your faith will grow when you stand in the Lord, when you stand firm on the foundation that has been established, Jesus, the cornerstone. So when Paul talks about being strong, he's not talking about going to the gym or working out, getting some big muscles. To the contrary of that, the strength we need does not come from our own ability in ourselves, but from the strength of the Lord through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the power of God to fight. Fight for your marriage. Do not let Satan deceive you with his schemes. Do not let your guard down and give opportunity for Satan in raising your children. Because without God and his battlements, we will become susceptible to the schemes of Satan. But we have the gear to not let him win. Satan is powerful. God is in control, but Satan is powerful. Just think back to the book of Job and the power Satan had with his body, with his home, and with his wealth and his friends. God let him go to do what he was going to do. But it does show us that Satan had a power and has a power. And look at what John 10:10 says. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The second part of that verse, though, says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's what we have hope in. Satan is not greater than God. Yes, there is power, but he's not greater than God. Again, I said earlier that Paul was writing to Christians, the church, saints of Ephesus. I want to remind you of this. Chosen, blameless, predestined, adopted sons and daughters according to the purpose of God's will. That's from the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. He starts off with that. He says, saints. And he tells them that they are chosen, blameless, predestined, adopted sons and daughters according to the purpose of God's will. We as children of God are according to God's purpose. We'll go about and we'll live and we'll make it if we put on the armor. And on that note, God has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And I know I said this before in another sermon, but it is like we have been placed in the heavens with Christ so that when we remember that we are able to stand against the schemes of the devil, it's like we've been placed in the heavens so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. Being able to take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Again, Ephesians 6:13. But since you have your Bibles, flip with me to Ephesians 1:19. I've used this verse a few times, but I believe that it is very important. Ephesians 1:19, and it says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might? Warren Wiersbe stated, in other words, as believers, we do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. The Spirit of God enables us by faith to appropriate Christ's victory for ourselves. I want to say that again. We do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. The Spirit of God enables us by faith to appropriate Christ's victory for ourselves. The strength of the Lord gives us the ability to stand through him and onto him and in him and for him. Now we are able to stand in the strength of the Lord when we put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Put off the old self. Put on the armor of God. Christ has already won the battle. Satan has been defeated. But Satan is not silent. He doesn't want us to make it to the end. It would be the greatest thing for him if we did not make it. You may say, I'm sealed. I am all good. Yes, the sealing of the Holy Spirit is there for us as believers in Christ. But watch, as I said earlier, that you will not become prideful in your salvation. Paul never gives us a set of rules so that we can check off boxes each day. I completed it. Look at me. I completed. I checked off all my boxes. Look at me. I've completed everything. Good job. We're not supposed to become prideful, making a set of rules for ourselves. Paul doesn't give all these scriptures for us so that we have rules before us that we can check off each day. So what is Paul finally saying? Does this mean we have finished? If we put on the armor, now I am done, I'm complete, I've put on the armor of God, game over, sit and relax, drink, eat, and be merry. No, I don't believe so. We must follow the scripture and what the scripture has for us. Your Bibles are very important. They're not something simple or little or of little importance. Do not set them down and leave them there. Spend time in your word because you need to hear from God. You need to hear what he has for you, and so that you can put on the armor. Because you're taking the armor of God. You're taking the word, the sword, which is one of them, the sword. You're taking the word of God so that you can defend off the schemes of Satan. Study your scriptures. Know them. Know them for your heart, for your soul, so that you can rejoice, so that your soul can rejoice in what Christ has done for you. So, scripture again. Let's look at it. Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Clearly, we're in a battle. We have salvation, but clearly we're in a battle. We must fight, but the fight is not with our hands. When someone joins the force, they know to some extent for themselves what they're getting into. They are trained to be able to be fit for battle. Once they go to battle, they must take with them their weapons. They learn to use the weapons in order to defend. We must learn how to defend our marriages with our battlements. I keep bringing up marriages and children because that's what Paul was pointing out. He was, when he says finally, he's pointing out what he was talking about earlier in the other chapters. He's talking about raising your children as a father, as parents. He's talking about husbands and loving your wives. He's talking about the church and how we are to work together as the church. So we must be ready because Satan wants to step in and deceive us. To want us to believe lies. The boys and I, a little while back, a few weeks, well, it might have been a month or more ago now, actually, we went on a hike. We got close to our destination. We couldn't make it there, and we had to turn around and come back. But on our way back, it started to pour rain, and it poured a lot. And something just to let you know is that if you run in the rain, you'll still get wet whether you walk or run. You're going to get wet no matter what. So I don't know. If you want to run, run. But walking, I don't think it makes a difference. But when we were on our way back, we got quite drenched. And we did run for a portion, quite a long, I think most of it we ran back down. I don't know how many kilometers it was, but a few kilometers, a couple kilometers. And we got to our destination quicker. But when we got to our destination, we still had to wait because Rachel was taking forever to come pick us up. So we still had to wait in the rain. And then we decided as we were waiting there for a little bit, we might as well start walking a bit because we had to come because we just have our van. So coming up the one part of the hill, it might get a little slick with the water running down. So anyways, so we started walking down, met her. We got in the van. We were wet, clearly wet everywhere, our backpacks. But we didn't prepare. Is what I'm trying to get across, is that we didn't prepare for the elements. We were fine, it was water, but we didn't prepare for the elements. We need to prepare. We need to prepare ourselves, not just holding on to our salvation, saying, I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm good. I can withstand the schemes of Satan. Prepare by reading your scriptures. Scripture, read it, study it, know it, so that you can come up against the schemes of Satan. Amen. So when you are anxious, you can look to the Lord and you can come to Him in prayer. Doesn't mean we won't become anxious. We might still become anxious. But when we become anxious, it is a reminder of how we need God. We need Him all the time. So are you ready to take on the elements? Are you ready for the battle? Paul said, finally, or from now on, be strong, verses in Ephesians 6:10. And if we are to be strong, we need not forget what we just come out of, as I said earlier in chapter 5 and chapter 6. We need to be strong in the Lord's strength. And I want to reiterate this again. The church, brothers and sisters, our marriages, our children, our jobs, our business, if we own businesses, Satan is not quiet, and he will look for every opportunity to get you to doubt God. But don't always blame poor little Satan. Don't always just put it on him. We sin. We sin. We sin ourselves. James 1:14 says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So stand firm in your faith and give no opportunity for the schemes of Satan. That's from Ephesians 4:27. Give no opportunity for Satan because he wants to tempt you. Think about Adam and Eve. When Eve was tempted, she blamed Satan. Yes, he did tempt her, but she chose to do what she did and to partake. Adam, who was standing by, who partook as well, should have been caring for his wife, did not. So let's read down a little bit further to verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So with this standing firm, this came to my mind last night when I was writing this. Anyways, I was thinking about standing firm, and I thought of Stan. So don't go stand beside Stan or hold on to Stan. It's saying stand firm in the Lord. It was more funny for me. So I got to hug Stan today too, so I got to hold him. So stand firm on a foundation. Stand firm on your faith. Stand firm in Christ. We know Hebrews 12:2 that says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Stand firm on the work of Christ. And then remember, Ephesians 2:20 is talking about standing firm on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. We stand firm on what we've found that is truth in Scripture. Not from another person, but what we found that is truth in Scripture. Yes, people can come and bring us the message, the Word of God. They can lead us to the cross. But it is the Lord who does the work. And the Lord gives us the ability to have strength to withstand the evil day after we have believed in Him. We all know about the story with a house that was built on sand. Didn't last, but the house that was built on the rock was solid and had a solid foundation. So we will battle many storms. Don't be fooled. You'll go through them. I think a big question within our lives is, or maybe not, my question, what are you putting on? chapter 6, verse 11. I don't know why I keep calling the chapter verse. Chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Put on. So you're putting on and you're putting off. I want to remind you of chapter 4, verse 22, which says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Before salvation, we were blind. We were blind. We were blinded. We were blind to the spiritual truths of God. We could not see the light. But if we've been saved, if we've found the Lord, if we've been illuminated to His truths, we have been raised into the heavenly places, and our battles are the cosmic powers in this darkness. And we have the right armor to put on in order to stand firm. I want to remind you of Job again, because Job had lots happen to him. All his physical ailments, scraping himself with pottery, his friends come against him. Satan was given the go-ahead to go forth and to go do what he was about to do. And Satan was thinking Job would doubt God. At the end, we can see that Job did not doubt God. Satan did not win. And the same goes for us. When we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, when we've been sealed by God, we can endure to the end, but we need to put on the armor. We need to put off the old self, and we need to take care of what the Lord has for us to do by studying the Scripture. I'm making much of Scripture today because it is very important. Very important for our lives. Amen. So, we come with many hurts, we come with many pains here today, but we can leave with hope, knowing that our Redeemer has saved us. And we can leave with hope, knowing that we can make it to the end. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for this morning. I thank you for your word, for your scriptures that are truth and that speak life to us. I thank you that we have been brought into your kingdom. I thank you that we can rejoice in what we have that awaits us, where one day we will be with you for eternity, where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more weeping, but just rejoicing. We'll be able to sing, "Holy, holy." With our Lord and Savior for all eternity. But I ask as we go from here today that you would give us the strength to battle through now still in this time that you have for us now, that our faith would grow as we go through the many battles, in Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us again.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, who with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, who with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, who with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love for me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, who with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
I had Psalms 5:11 for our benediction, but I want to add, as I was thinking here, the next verse, verse 12. And I hope you will see why. Psalms 5, verse 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. And spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. Verse 12. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Go and be blessed.